Dave and Ryan's movie review and action.
Everyone loves going to the movies. And while some are amazing, some are awful. Fortunately, we have Dave and Ryan, two guys with nothing better to do than watch movies of today and movies of yesterday. So get your popcorn ready, silence your phones, and relax, because the show is about to begin.
Cue Dave and Ryan in 3, 2, 1.
It's Dave and Ryan's movie review.
Sponsored by nobody.
Welcome in to a new edition of Dave and Ryan's movie review, show number 132. Ryan, how are you?
Meh.
Not too bad, not okay, just kind of a meh week. You didn't have any fights?
No, but it's been a very long weekend.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree with that statement that it has been a very, very long weekend. And it always seems like, you know, you wait and you wait for the holiday to get here. And then the week leading up to it, it seems to take forever. And it's just rushed when you finally get there. But it seems like everything goes wrong. And it's like the longest week of the year before.
And then after, it's just like a flash.
Yeah, that too. Before you get to it, it's like the longest week of the year and then it's over.
Yeah.
So, are you doing anything fun for Christmas this year? Or just normal family
just
fare?
Just normal family thing. Watching some football. Watched the Oklahoma-Alabama game the other night. That was disappointing.
Yes. Yes, a little bit. Started out pretty disappointing for Alabama. Come from behind win there on that one.
I can't believe Oklahoma dropped the ball like that.
All right. And then last night, of course, the Jake Paul fight. And you said you didn't get to catch it until about the middle of the third.
Yeah, we were here at the station doing some last-minute things, and then I got home, turned it on. Yeah, it was disappointing as well.
It was a little disappointing. But
slap,
you know,
hands.
You know, that's the whole thing. I think the most disappointing part is I don't know if it was a homage to the memory of Hulk Hogan or what, but, you know, he came out to Real American. And then, of course, it kind of
that way.
And then it kind of blended into this, you know, rap, whatever it was called, you know. But yeah, red and yellow, and he thought he was Hulk Hogan there for a minute. But yeah.
On the old Netflix there.
The old Netflix, Warner Brothers, you know, new parent company, I guess. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. In fact, you ready to go to Hollywood?
Eh.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to Hollywood Boulevard, the place of glitz, glamour, and dreams. Just kidding. This place is a dump. That's why Dave and Ryan come here each week. You get the news from Hollywood without fearing for your life on the Walk of Fame. It's This Week in Hollywood.
So a few big stories came out this week in Hollywood. First one that's pretty big is the Oscars are leaving ABC in 2029.
Which is very surprising because, a lot of filmmakers, you know, they groan and moan about Netflix and stuff. And now they're moving to where?
YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
And not even the one you got to pay for.
They groan and moan about Netflix movies, but now they're going to be on YouTube.
It's been a 50-year relationship with ABC that the Oscars have been on ABC. Yeah. And, you know, the thing that I don't understand is, if you want to keep movies front and center, why move them to a digital platform?
Exactly.
This is good. I
understand a lot of people don't have like regular TV anymore. Like I don't have cable or anything like that. You know, I use online platforms such as like Hulu and stuff like that. But YouTube, we're on YouTube, Dave. This is how stupid it is.
The home of Dave and Ryan's movie review, and now the Oscars.
Yes.
We're moving up in the world.
We're roomies!
So here's the other part of it, too, is everything will be on there. That means, the Governor's Awards that they do 2 weeks in advance, which might not be too bad, because that's really not televised anywhere.
No.
You don't get that all the time.
You get some highlights, but that's about it.
Yeah, so that will be, and of course, I know that this is what you were mostly concerned with, the red carpet will still be on YouTube.
Ooh.
So, like I said, that will happen in 2029. And Warner Brothers tells Paramount, go pound sand. They don't want anything to do with them. And the main focus of this is the fact that there are questions now about Warner Brothers financing. That, you know, that look, we know that we can get this much money out of Netflix. They've offered this. It's in writing. We've seen it. It's ready to go. And the problem with the Warner Brothers or the Paramount deal is they're kind of looking for ways to, you know, how should we say, creative financing.
Creative?
And, yes, and some of it will come from overseas. Some of it will come from foreign entities.
Are they making them an offer they cannot refuse?
Well, apparently they did refuse it. So that means to me that, you know, the Corleone family is not part of the offer. But they're over at, what are they on? They're on Fox anyway, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's safe there. So this, I don't think this story's over. It'll be interesting to see how this ends.
Oh, it's just getting started.
It is. Dave. It's getting really, really good. So remember about, what, almost a month ago now, Netflix offered $82.7 billion. They were the ones that were allowed to enter into solo negotiations with Warner Brothers. And then Paramount tried to side with the board and offered this insane $108 billion. So who knows? Who knows where it will land? Somewhere in between, I'm sure, is where it will probably land, would be my guess. Yeah. But we'll keep you posted on that one. And then in other news, of course, the news that ended really the last week, came out last week, was the death of Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle Singer Reiner. And now it has come out that they were really murdered by their son, Nick Reiner, who is in police custody. We'll see how this all folds out and unfolds as well. We're going to talk a little bit more about Rob Reiner and talk about some of our favorite Rob Reiner films. There's one Rob Reiner film that seems to be the go-to in the state of Utah for everyone. And we'll talk about that as well coming up in just a bit. So I don't know. We'll talk, like I said, we'll get more into Rob Reiner because I have one movie of his that I have a remote drop, Rob Reiner movie. I really do. So, all right, this week, the big movie that's coming out is, of course, Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Which we will review
Next week. So, Ryan, $90 to $105 million domestic.
You know, it's the weekend before Christmas. So you're going to get a lot of people traveling, a lot of people going home. They're going to be bored. So they're going to go to the movie. I want to say 107.
Okay. I'm going to go on the low end. I'm going to say 95. Because, you know, we do have another contender that came out this week.
If they don't make at least 100, they're not making their money back.
They're not, well, and they're not making 4 or 5. Although everybody's going crazy about the fact that 4 and 5 is already ready to go and they are going to do this. And they're not. Nothing's ready to go yet. But like I said, they do have another contender that come out this week.
Oh, yeah?
That little yellow sponge.
Yeah, but
I think he could take down the Navi. Not really. All right, so last week, you know it's always bad when we talk about last week's projection before I even give you the top 5. Last week, I pulled one out, and we went with Dust Bunny. Now, this is a movie we did a reaction for because it looked good. I'm talking Mads Mikkelsen was in this one. Sigourney Weaver was in this. Ryan, you said $18 million, and I said $5 million. Ryan, tell us right there at number 17, how much money did it make?
Is it the first number or the last number?
It's the same because
you have four numbers here.
It starts with a three.
3, 3, 4, 1, 5. Oh,
$341,000.
Wow, we were.
But it's an artsy film, so I'm sure it'll be okay.
What's this 402 number then? And this 849.
That's theaters, and then that's okay. How many? That's
you know, your chart is very confusing.
It is
Dave.
That part is. I didn't trim that out, but yeah. So it played in 402 theaters.
Okay.
And it averaged $849 a screen.
Okay.
So yeah, $341 or $341,598. We're toying with Ryan's World numbers.
Oh, please no.
Do you think the parents will get divorced? over this one too.
Sigourney Weaver has already filed for custody.
Right. Okay, so starting at number five, it was Now You See Me, Now You Don't, $2.3 million, bringing its total to $59.3 million. Druhandar, this is a foreign film, obviously, $3.5 million, bringing its total to $7.9 million. Wicked for Good, still hanging in there, $8.5 million, with its total of $312.1 million. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 did another $19.3 million, brings its total to $95.3 million. And the number one movie in the country last week, Zootopia 2, $25.8 million, bringing its total to $258.5 million just domestically. That's pretty impressive.
It's a good film.
For a cartoon. It was. It was a lot of fun. All right, so... I decided that since, you know, we talked about it just briefly in the opening and it is, you know, his week to shine, this had to be the Honest Movie Review.
Welcome into another Honest Movie Review. Today we go back to 1997. It's the American epic romance and disaster film, Titanic.
Listen to me. I've got you. I won't let go.
Titanic was called the Ship of Dreams. And it was. It really was.
Do you trust me?
I trust you.
While watching this James Cameron masterpiece, I thought out loud, will the damn boat just hurry and sink? I have to pee. I can't wait to speak with you again next week.
Sometimes you have to take shots at classics. That's all there is to it. And I, for better or worse, Titanic is a classic, I would say.
Yeah.
It really is. All right, so coming up today, we found what Rian Johnson does best. Stay away from Star Wars movies and write murder mysteries.
Yeah.
I agree. So we're going to do a review of Wake Up Dead Man. That's the new Knives Out movie on Netflix. Then we're going to talk about some of our favorite Rob Reiner films. And since we're not going to talk to you before then, we got to give you our Christmas movies that are must watches for us. And some of them are a Christmas movie. Some of them aren't. And we have reasons for why we watch them at Christmas time. So when we come back, we're going to take up arms and give you a review of Wake Up Dead Man, the Knives Out mystery, new to Netflix from Rain. Is it Rain or Ryan?
I think it's Ryan.
Ryan, R-I-A-N, Rian Johnson. There you have it. Coming up, the review of Wake Up Dead Man on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Everyone on set, shut up. Shut up. These two buffoons are about to talk about a new release. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 1. Action.
What's more exciting than a brand new release to the movie theater? According to Dave and Ryan, nothing. They're the first to see it, so you're the first to hear about it.
All right, so last week, well, on the 12th anyway, the new Knives Out murder mystery, Wake Up Dead Man, came out on Netflix. This one is rated PG-13. I thought they snuck more than one F-word in there. I had to look it up and make sure that it was only rated PG-13, but I thought they had more than one. Who knows, though?
Yeah. My favorite was is when the priest apologizes for saying Jesus Christ.
Yes. In the church, no less. Yeah. It's going to set you back about 2 hours and 24 minutes. Of course, you got Daniel Craig, Kaylee Spenny, Andrew Scott, Mila Kunis, Jeremy Renner, Thomas Hayden Church, Glenn Close, Josh Brolin, Jeffrey Wright. Am I forgetting anybody? That's the one thing about these movies is the cast that they put together for these movies is fantastic. It's almost like a Cannonball Run movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I really like the Daniel Craig character. I like Benoit Blanc. I really do.
He seemed older in this one.
Well, he is getting older.
Well, I know, but he seemed like compared to the other two movies, he seems like he's like like turning into a crippled old man.
Maybe, but with age comes wisdom.
I guess, yeah.
That's the only thing that gets me through. So the movie opens with a priest writing a letter. And Well, not necessarily a priest writing a letter. Daniel Craig reading a letter. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And it all stems from this priest is a little bit of a loose cannon. But well, people still love him.
Yeah, well, he joined the clergy, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Later on in life, after he was an adult, he was a boxer, and he accidentally killed a man in the ring because of his rage or anger or something. I don't quite remember, but he turned towards the cloth, I guess you could say, hence trying to make the world a better place.
That's right.
Open arms, not closed fists.
That was the whole point of it. Yeah. You know. But so anyway, they send him to this church that is it's
crazy.
It's Josh Brolin's church, and we all know somebody that has been at it too long and needs to walk away while they still have, as they say in this movie, a lot with grace.
Yeah.
But Josh Brolin has a very small flock that he has kind of weaponized.
Yeah, well, he would scare, or not scare, more like intimidate people he didn't want there off. Like a single mother with her daughter. There was a same-sex couple that he scared off, and then a few other people. So it was just his core foundation of what those are, six or seven of them.
Yeah, and they actually, he was, I think honestly, he was more of a cult leader.
Yeah.
Than a priest or a monsignor, as he wished to be called.
Yeah, which is weird because he was at the church that his father,
grandfather
ran, and he was born from, what do they call her?
The harlot whore.
The harlot whore. Yeah, which she was just this money-grabbing woman who was promised an inheritance after Monsignor died. But he basically, screwed her over. And so she tore the church apart, and they never fixed the church because it was a reminder.
Of the harlot whore.
Yes.
And so it all boils down to the fact that there is, of course, a murder,
you say?
And
why is Monsignor Daniel Craig's character like Southern?
He's from the South.
It didn't show in the other, in the first movie.
Well, you just assume.
If you just assume, you make something out of you and me.
Especially in the first one when Chris Evans says, "What is this, Kentucky Fried Murder Mystery or something like that?" But anyway, I love the character. I really do. I love that character, Benoit Blanc. I hope that we get more movies with him. But I will say this for this movie. I had one problem with one actress in this movie.
Who?
And I just don't think she was very good in it. Mila Kunis was not good in this movie.
Yeah, she was not very standout-ish.
No, she's the chief of police.
Yeah, and she's not in it a whole lot.
No,
and her is this her first acting role in a while?
Oh, could be. I don't know when the last.
Her performance was very dry.
It was, and that's the, like I said, that was the issue that I had with it. Is she just she wasn't great in it.
Honestly, I didn't recognize who it was until maybe when they were at the police station. I was like, oh my gosh, that's her.
Yeah,
she's not very recognizable.
No, and she's out there. She's being a mom, and that's fine.
Yeah.
She's been playing Meg since 1999 on Family Guy. I'm just trying to see when her last like movie role was. There was The Luckiest Girl Alive in 2022. She's been on The Boys, which is a great series if you've never watched it. But I thought it was, she was very rigid.
Yeah.
And she just, everybody else, it seemed like it flowed for them. But for her, it seemed like it was very difficult for her to act.
Yeah, like everyone else kind of stood out where she just kind of blended into the background.
Right. So, but all in all, like I said, great cast. Glenn Close is fantastic in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
She really is. It's great to see Thomas Hayden Church in anything. I love Thomas Hayden Church, going all the way back to his days on Wings. Renner was great. Brolin played a terrific... And, you know, it's just there's so many twists and turns. There was one moment, you and I talked about it, and I don't want to give it up, but there's one moment when something is just explained way too much, and you're like, okay, we're going to come back to this, and that's why. But I love this. I hope they keep making these movies. I would love to see more movies like this. I'm going to give it a solid 4 out of 5 popcorn buckets. I liked it. I really did.
It was good. I don't know if it's 4 buckets worthy, but I'm going to go ahead and give it 3.
3? So, yeah, check this one out. And as I said, I think I told you this. Before I watched this one, I had to go back and watch the other ones. And the first one, Knives Out, fantastic cast again.
Yeah.
It's on Prime right now. So it's on Amazon if you want to watch it. Glass Onion, there are parts in that movie where I think to myself, you know, this is probably my favorite Knives Out movie, especially when he's going off about Edward Norton being such an idiot. I love that speech.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
That's on Netflix. This one's on Netflix as well. So check this one out. Once again, Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery. And Daniel Craig and Jeremy Renner, Josh Brolin, Glenn Close. It's pretty good. Especially for if you're going to just be sitting at home over the next weekend or week or so. A lot of people are going to be off this week coming up. Check this one out. Seriously. All right, when we come back, we're going to discuss our favorite Rob Reiner films. And I have a couple of them, but as I said, there's one that is a staple in the state of Utah that people flock to left and right and center. And it actually happens to be our Saturday Cinema movie for February.
Ooh.
We'll talk about that when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Hey, idiots. We're back from commercial. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 2, and action.
So we lost director Rob Reiner to a horrific homicide, I guess. There's no real other way to say it. Everybody, I think, well, not everybody. He will definitely be remembered as Archie Bunker's son-in-law from All in the Family. And I think, and he was a great actor, great comedic actor and comedic timing, but I think that he found his stride when he started directing movies. And probably the first movie that I can remember watching of his is one you said you wanted to take a moment and talk about, and that was Stand By Me. This was a Stephen King novel of, five guys going to look at a dead body.
Yeah.
That's what it was about, but it's more than that, right? So let's, you wanted to talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, okay, I guess.
Take it away, Ryan.
I guess we're going. Yeah, so, like I was talking with Dave, you know, there's not a... I know some of his movies, but nothing like stands out and that makes me go, that's my favorite one of his, or, you know, because he had a few of them that were just amazing. And this is one of the ones I wanted to talk about, but you know, there's also a few that I had no idea that he directed. Like, I didn't know he did When Harry Met Sally.
Yep.
He did Misery, of all things. A Few Good Men, North, which is a really weird movie.
It was. I will admit that.
So weird. So weird. But yeah, but talking about Stand By Me, and there's another one, but I'm going to let Dave talk about it because that's his movie. But yeah, this had a very great young all-star cast. It had Will Wheaton, who a lot of people know from Star Trek. If you don't like his character on Star Trek, you're not alone. But I think he redeemed himself on The Big Bang Theory.
I was going to say, catch him on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, which was great. And then, you know, the late River Phoenix, great aspiring actor who passed away too soon. And then there's this crazy guy, Corey Feldman, who, if you know him, he's the comeback king.
Yep.
It's so weird. And then Jerry O'Connell. Jerry O'Connor. Grew up to be just, you know, this hunky stud guy.
Who knew when this movie came out back in, what was it, 80...
Oh,
1986. Who knew that the fat kid from Stand By Me would bag Rebecca Romijn?
Yeah.
Not only bag her, but take her away from John Stamos. Good for you.
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland's in this one. And then, you know, we got some old, more established. There was Bradley Gregg was in it. Richard Dreyfuss was the writer. And John Cusack's in it.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. As Dave said, you know, this follows the story of four kids who hear about there's a reward for a dead, you know, for this finding this dead body. A young man got struck by a train. And his body had flew off into the bushes, and nobody knows where he is, and there's a reward, so they know where it is, so they go off, you know, they set off to go find him, instead of, you know, going to the authorities and like, hey, I know where it is, which was kind of weird.
Well, they want to see it.
Because, yeah, because there's no phones in this, cell phones back then.
No, this was back in the 50s.
Yeah, so after they spot it, oh, cool. Now what?
Now what do we do?
Now we got to go all the way back? But, yeah, this is follows their tale. Some of the greatest scenes is the train scene when they're going across the bridge and they have to jump. That's recreated in a lot of movies. One of my favorite scenes, which is absolutely disgusting, is the pie-eating contest.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, go.
I knew you wouldn't let me down. I knew it. And, well, everybody kind of looked at Will Wheaton as, like, the only kid in the group that was going to get out of the town and do something with himself.
Yeah.
Because he had this imagination. And so they asked him to tell a story. And so that was the story that he came up with, was this guy that had been made fun of his entire life and looked at it as a way to get back at everybody at the pie-eating contest. So he ate four or five pies in, and he had taken stuff before.
Yeah, was it eggs, or what did he eat before? Oh,
there was castor oil or all kinds of stuff that this guy drank and ate, and it made him throw up a lot, and then it made everybody throw up a lot. Reminded me of, you know, when Chunk told his story about the balcony scene.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what it reminded me of. But, yeah, it was a great movie for four really young actors that were just kind of starting out. And you had, like you said, Kiefer Sutherland was in there. Cusack was in it. And just
Kiefer
a great
Sutherland
story.
Played the bad guy.
Yeah.
He was one of the kids' older brother.
It kind of turned into a race between the four kids and Kiefer Sutherland and his friends to go find this body. Because if I remember correctly, didn't he overhear Kiefer Sutherland telling his friends about it? Like, that's how he knew where it was?
I think so.
Something like that. But, yeah, it's on Netflix right now.
Yes.
If you want to watch it, check that one out. Because
give it a whirl.
It is. Give it a great movie. Great movie. Now, the one that he directed that I said is a staple for the state of Utah, I don't know why, but it is just a wholesome, wholesome story, is The Princess Bride.
I think it's more than just Utah. Around the world, everyone has kind of a soft spot for this. Like during the pandemic, they, you know, a bunch of celebrities recreated the scenes. And so, yeah, like I said, it's not just Utah. You know, if anything, Utah's back crazy about another Halloween/Christmas movie, which will not be mentioned, Dave. Will not be mentioned.
Well, that's okay, because Rob Reiner had nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
But that, you know, The Princess Bride is a great film. And as I said, that is actually going to be our Saturday cinema for February, for Valentine's Day, because everybody will get all romantical on that one.
Will they?
I think so. But then, as you said, When Harry Met Sally came out, and he had a string of like four or five movies that were unbelievable. Started with Stand By Me in 86. Then 87 was The Princess Bride. 89 was When Harry Met Sally. 1990, he directed Misery, which was like completely different than anything he had directed before.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, right? I'm your biggest fan. And then the one that I said, I do have a remote drop, and this is it, A Few Good Men, is actually based on a play, a stage play.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't, but the great thing about this is, you know, we just talked about the cast that they put together for these Knives Out movies. The cast for this one, I mean,
they were also very young actors.
Very young.
This time.
Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore, Kevin Pollak, Kiefer Sutherland was in this one.
Yes.
Let's see here. I lost place. Kevin Bacon. If you can link anybody in this movie to Kevin Bacon, you win 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Because, I mean, there's so many people. A very young Christopher Guest was in this one. J.T. Walsh was in this one, rest his soul. As I was saying, a very young Noah Wiley was in this movie as well. Just so many great actors come together to make an amazing performance in this movie. And yes, like I said, if I am going through and I find this movie, day's over. Because I will sit and watch this one. Because it is such a... The other thing is, it is such a quotable movie.
Yeah.
There have been times, I don't know how if you remember that part of the movie where he talked about the fact that, you know, if he won one more, he got a set of steak knives. And Demi Moore says, when something goes wrong, Demi Moore says, sorry about your steak knives. Anytime that we have a disagreement at my house, I will say that, or my wife will say that to the other person. Sorry about your other set of steak knives. It's just, it is. It's such a great, great movie, and it's such a great courtroom drama. Probably one of the best courtroom dramas that has ever been made.
Yeah, I would say.
Then, of course, Ghosts of Mississippi. That was a great movie from a very dark time. Rumor has it with Kevin Costner and Jennifer Aniston.
Ooh,
have you ever seen that one?
I have not.
Yeah, with she hooks up with Kevin Costner at a party, and then through all these twists and turns and stuff, she starts wondering because there's a story but that Kevin Costner's character was The Graduate, who the movie The Graduate was based on,
mm-hmm.
was Dustin Hoffman's character. And he had an affair with Jennifer Aniston's grandmother. So after they sleep together, she starts wondering, what have I done because of all this? It's kind of an interesting story.
Was their last name Robinson?
No, it was not. The Bucket List is a great movie, too.
It is a great one.
So there are so many out there. And so it goes. Then we have LBJ. He has a new Spinal Tap movie coming out. So check out the guy's whole career and his whole filmography, because there's a lot out there. And he will definitely be missed as a director and just as a voice in Hollywood, because he was fantastic and just had a thing for comedy. He really did. He could see it. Well, look who his dad was.
Yeah.
His dad was Carl Reiner. You can't grow up in that house and not laugh every now and then.
You can, but you're probably deaf.
Yeah, that's true, too. All right, so when we come back, since we're not going to talk to you again before then, we've got Christmas movies that some of mine aren't necessarily a Christmas movie, but we've got to watch them at Christmas time. And we're going to talk about that when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
All right, in the souls, everyone quiet down. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, segment 3, and action.
Since we're not going to be with you before Christmas, we thought we would give you a list of some Christmas movies that maybe you would like to watch. These are Christmas movies that don't necessarily have to do or take place at Christmas time, but for the most part, mine do. Ryan's, he's got a couple that don't, but we always like to watch them at Christmas time. So we're going to talk about those right now, and Ryan's going to get us started. Ryan, go ahead.
All right, so the first one that I have to watch every year, as soon as December 1st hits, gots to watch it. It's, well, I've talked about this before on the show. It's Office Christmas Party. It is an amazing film. It's got stars Jason Bateman in it, Olivia Munn. Jennifer Aniston's in it.
Yes, she is.
T.J. Miller, who is kind of crazy. Kate McKinnon. And there's a slew of other people. Randall Park's in this one. But it's a story about a guy, Jason Bateman, who just got divorced, just signed the divorce papers, and he works for his best friend, at T.J. Miller, for his company that his dad left to him. Xenotech is the name of the company, and they're, they live in the world of, you know, the corporate times where, like, they can't do office Christmas parties very well. You get like one cookie and one glass of punch for like an hour, and then that's it. Where TJ, he's, you know, reminiscing about when his dad used to have Christmas parties back in the 80s. You know, people would, you know, destroy each other for some of the gifts that they had. But Jennifer Aniston plays TJ's sister, who was put in charge of the entire company. It's not just TJ runs the Chicago branch. She runs all the branches, and she's kind of closing down some branches to kind of save some money. You know, this is back when, you know, this came out in 2016, right there. You know, things were a little tight for some people. And so they were, shutting down branches. And she was going to shut this one down until some shenanigans happened. They end up jumping. Well, TJ tried to jump a bridge when he heard about it. It's just crazy night. The whole office gets destroyed. Kate McKinnon plays the HR person in the office, and she plays an amazing job.
She's the creepy lady.
And Rob Cordy is in this one. They're like bitter rivals because he always wants to do crazy, weird things, and she's just like, no. But I definitely recommend watching this one. It's a great movie. It is rated R, so maybe don't watch it with the kiddos. One of my favorite quotable lines is when they get in the elevator to go up to the office, and there's like a reindeer, and there's a guy dressed as Jesus, and he turns over to Jason Bateman's character and goes, "It's my birthday." He's like, ah, classic, sticking to it. It's a great film. My next one isn't exactly a Christmas movie, but I always have to watch it around Christmas time because when I was a little kid, when we get off Christmas break, I'd always watch this one. It's Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back, which is kind of Christmassy because, you know, it takes place on Hoth and snow. Great film. Of course, everyone knows Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, Leia Organa, Harrison Ford as Han Solo, and then you got Chewbacca. If you don't know the story of Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back, I don't know where you've been living the last so odd years. It's a great film.
A lot of people would fight you if you think that it's not the best one of the bunch.
Exactly. It's if it's not the best one, it's at least number two.
You know why it's the best one?
Why is that?
Because you forgot somebody.
Who, Yoda?
Billy D. Williams.
Oh, yeah. Lando.
Lando Calrissian.
I have changed the plan. Pray do not alter it further.
That's right. No, it's a pretty good one.
It's a great one.
Because, of course, this is where the big spoiler alert of spoilers comes out.
It's also where you first get to see Boba Fett.
Yep. Great characters. And, yeah, it's where we find out who Luke's dad is.
Yes. He never actually says that, though.
No.
It's just all in your mind. Big misconception. Yeah, it's all in your mind. But another movie that is not necessarily a Christmas movie, but the first part of it does take place during Christmas, is another one I had to watch as a child. No, I didn't have to watch it. I wanted to watch it as a child because it's The Godfather. It's a great film. If you didn't know Star Wars and you don't know The Godfather, we can't be friends.
No.
Because The Godfather is an amazing film. It stars Al Pacino. Marlon Brando's in this movie. Great film. Getting a little tongue-tied because that's a good movie.
Yeah, I agree.
But Al Pacino's character just got back from the war. He's met a girl. Everyone from the family is just happy to see him. But his father gets shot because some of the other families want to start dealing drugs, and he's not about that. Doesn't want to do drugs, doesn't want to deal drugs, so he gets shot for that. And as he's in the hospital, Al Pacino goes to see him, and they're going to try to kill him because they didn't kill him the first time, and so he ends up shooting one of the members of an opposite family and the cop who was supposed to be in charge of guarding his father. Ends up shooting him in a restaurant. Pew, 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 pew. You know, he's got to get the gun from the toilet.
Back to the toilet.
Yeah. So he flees to Italy, comes back, finds out his girlfriend is pregnant, had a baby. It's a great film. If you don't know The Godfather, then you're just weird.
I agree. Like, if you don't know Star Wars and you don't know The Godfather, we're going to have to go to the mattresses over this one.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, I don't know for a fact, but I guarantee you it is probably on AFI's 100 greatest films of all time.
Yes.
I would guarantee that.
So the next one, it's kind of a Christmas movie. It's about a boy. This has a great cast in it as well. Hugh Grant's in it. A very, very young Nicholas Holt is in it. Tony Collette.
Tony Colletti.
Yeah, Colletti. And then also Natalie Tina. Tina? T-E-N-A. Tina. She was in Harry Potter. She was in Game of Thrones. You got to know her. You got to love her. Great actress. But this follows Hugh Grant's character, whose father wrote a very, very popular Christmas song. And he is basically living off the royalties of that. Doesn't have a job. Doesn't do anything. Just buys whatever he wants. But he absolutely hates Christmas. And he ends up meeting... Nicholas Holt's character, you might know him from Warm Bodies. He was also in the Mad Max Furiosa.
He was Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I know you don't like to talk about that movie, but...
Oh, I didn't want to bring up DC.
But... I haven't brought up the other one, so okay, you're okay.
Okay. It was Lex Luthor. But he ends up befriending this kid because he was being chased and bullied, and he... randomly ran up to a door and was ringing the doorbell, and reluctantly he lets him inside so the bullies don't, bully him. And he ends up, kind of like a weird friendship. His mother, played by Tony, she's very, very depressed, especially around the holidays, and she ends up trying to kill herself unsuccessfully. And so, there's a lot of kind of heartwarming drama going on. But in the end, Hugh Grant kind of not necessarily becomes a father figure to this guy, but more of like a very good friend. It's a great film. I definitely recommend it. Have you seen it, Dave?
I have not.
You should watch this.
Maybe I should.
I know you like Hugh Grant.
Yeah, I do like Hugh Grant. So
this is it's about a boy. It's on
can I find it?
You can find it on Amazon Prime, okay. YouTube.
Yeah, the home of the Oscars. Damon Ryan's movie. Yeah,
Apple TV. It's great, great film. Yeah, it came out in 2002. It was rated PG-13. I forgot. Nicholas Holt's character kills a duck on accident. He's got a loaf of bread that his mother gave him to go feed the ducks, but it's very stale and hard, and it's just a solid piece of rock, and he's trying to tear off pieces and he just can't do it, so he gets frustrated and just throws the whole thing and it just clobbers a duck. But so the last one on my list, which is also on Dave's list,
yes,
that we're both going to talk about, is Love Actually. This is a great film.
It is, and it's one of those British comedies that everything I love one when they kind of intertwine a story.
Yeah, there's like four different stories.
There
going
is,
on.
And they're all friends, and you know what? And once again, the cast you've got in this one, was it Keira Knightley is in this? You've got Andrew Lincoln, Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson,
Colin Firth
is in Liam this. Neeson. Mr. Darcy, yeah. Liam Neeson,
Bill Knightley, Alan Rickman.
Yeah, just keep going right down the list. And it is such a great movie. Martin Freeman, there. I got that one out.
The kid, Thomas Bodieslanger, I slaughtered that last name, but he was also on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and it's just a great cast with a bunch of great stories.
Martin Freeman,
and Andrew after Lincoln. Watching it, you know what? I think Hugh Grant would make a great prime minister.
Yeah, that...
I mean, if we can have who we have running the country, why can't they have Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I think they need a Bill Knightley character to sing and strip on stage.
I think we should play that song on the radio for Christmas.
I don't think we should.
We should find it and play it. I'm sure it's out there. But yeah, in fact, I just watched it last night. It is a great, great movie. We try and watch it every Christmas because it takes place around Christmas. And there's just so many different stories and so many things that are tied in together. And it's just, it's so much fun. So much fun. Colin that decides he's just going to come to America because he can't meet chicks in England.
Yeah.
And then right out of the gate, ends up meeting four at once. It's just, it's great. It's a great movie. It really is. I don't know why people, you know, go watch it. Go watch it. And plus, it's got a great soundtrack, too. All right. First on my list, other than Love Actually, Bill Murray and Scrooged. Probably next to, and I take heat for this every year, next to A Muppet's Christmas Carol, probably my favorite retelling of this story. I love this movie.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah, I know. But you've got, and plus, he's in it. And, you know, Buddy Hackett is in this one. Robert Mitchum is in this movie.
There's a lot of great old school comedy.
There are. And it's William Forsythe is in this movie from, you know, he was the voice of Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on Dynasty. But it's such a great movie, and it's just one of those. It's the same story. It's just that Bill Murray is played by, it plays Frank Cross, and he runs a network. And everything just kind of culminates on the same night that they're doing a live version of A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
This is, once again, this is another quotable movie. Some of them you can't get away with on the air. But my favorite one is, you know, Carol Kane, because she hits him with a toaster.
Yes.
I love this movie. Check this one out. Another one that it kind of takes place at Christmas time. And plus, it's got probably two of our greatest actors of all time. Three, if you want to throw Anne Margaret in there, is Grumpy Old Men. With, yeah, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. This is the...
This is an amazing movie.
This is the quintessential grumpy old men that live next door to each other and can't stand each other, but still really care about each other.
Is this the one where his dad dies? Or is
no,
that
that's the second one. And okay, then, yeah, Burgess Meredith is in, yeah, this. Playing somebody's dad. I love it when he takes him shopping and he just throws a package of bacon in the shopping cart. And he goes, I have bacon for breakfast, a bacon sandwich for lunch, and dinner. I usually drink my dinner. So, once again, another great, great movie that takes place at Christmas time. You have to talk, I think, about Christmas Vacation.
Yeah,
it's at this time of year. It's another great one.
I almost bought a sweater of Cousin Eddie, his famous quote, outside
just emptying out the RV.
Yeah.
But it's a great, great one. And then another one that takes place at Christmas time, but doesn't necessarily have to do with Christmas, is Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ralph Bellamy, Don Ameche is in this one. A very, very young James Belushi is in this movie, yes, as well, where Don Ameche and Ralph Bellamy own a trading house, and they basically take Eddie Murphy off the streets and figure that they have a bet that they can turn him into a millionaire, and take Dan Aykroyd's character, who is a millionaire, and turn him into a homeless person over $1.
Yeah, it's a great film, and they find out about it at the end of the movie and basically screw over the other two. It's a great film.
And you know who else is in this movie is Denholm Elliott, who played Marcus in, yeah, the Raiders of the Lost Ark movies. He plays the butler.
Ooh.
So you need to check that one out. And there is a redemption arc for Mortimer, and I can't remember what the other brother's name was, in Coming to America.
Oh, yeah.
When Eddie Murphy's walking down and he's this prince, and he has this load of cash, and he hands it to this homeless person, and it turns out to be Ralph Bellamy and Don Ameche. They're great movies. They really are. I didn't even talk about Home Alone.
No.
And those kinds of things. So check them all out. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Have a great time. And until next time, go see a movie.
And that brings us to the end of this week's journey. But don't worry, Dave and Ryan have more movies to watch and more opinions to spew next week. You can relive today's episode at CastleCountryRadio.com. Thanks for joining us on Ryan and Dave's Movie Review.
Ah, the hell with it. Send it in, we're done. See you next week.